Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After the first evening of plentiful rain that we've seen here in Billings for quite some time, the 10 o'clock weather anchor confidently announced that we should all thank Mother Nature for this wonderful rain. Posture of thankfulness for a blessing that is given is most certainly appropriate. But who is this Mother Nature? And in what way shall we give thanks to her? Do we sacrifice chickens at midnight? Do we bow down to the rising sun? Do we dance in the streets? Or do we just speak a quiet skeptical prayer to the nearest rock or tree or pile of dirt? The dictionary says that Mother Nature is nature personified as a woman, considered as the source and guiding force of all creation. In other words, Mother Nature is, in the diction of this post-Christian world, a kindler, gentler, disassociated, non-doctrinal, non-judgmental, sovereign God who is responsible for guiding all things in nature. Or at the very least, Mother Nature is a powerful force that is chaotic and random, that has no concern for persons, but that conveniently explains the things in this world that are completely out of our control. This personification and naming of forces that we cannot control and don't fully understand is the way the world escapes from dealing with what they see with their eyes and know in their hearts to be true. That there is an actual creator who is all-powerful, all-knowing, who is greater than them, who knows them and their thoughts, words, and deeds. The complexity of the universe, the variety that is found in all creation, the intricacy of the seeing eye and the hearing ear, along with the capacity to think and to speak and to reason, these all show that there is a God. Someone has ordered this creation. Nature shows even those who do not know the triune God that there is a greater power, that there is a creator. The psalmist even writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God and show forth his splendor. And, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." But it is not self-evident from nature that the Creator intimately knows you, and that he loves you, and that he even gave up his life for you. That wonderful knowledge doesn't come from nature. It has to be revealed to you by the Creator himself. God must place that knowledge into your heart and your head in order for you to believe it. And it is that revelation that God loves you in his Son that brings us to this day in the church year. For the revelation of God's love for his creation in Jesus Christ is exactly what the day of Pentecost is all about. The majesty and the power of the things in nature will always point people to a great force that controls nature. The text from Acts tells us that nature itself will show forth signs that everyone will see as the end quickly approaches. But again, that nature does not teach us who or what that force is. It is only the Holy Spirit, through the public preaching of the gospel, that reveals to us and to the whole world that Jesus Christ is that force who controls and reigns and governs all things. Not only is he over all things and ruler of all things, but he intimately knows and loves each of you. The day of Pentecost is not primarily about the Holy Spirit. Like the rest of Holy Scripture, it is first and foremost about Jesus Christ, who has been revealed to the world as Savior, Lord, and King. The Holy Spirit does not want us to focus on Him, though He is an equal person of the Trinity. He only wants us to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins. He proceeds from the Father and the Son to convict the world of sin and to show the world their Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is to that end that He has caused the prophets and the apostles to write, to tell the world about what God has done in Jesus Christ. How the Lord and Creator of all things took on human flesh and blood and came into His creation and willingly gave up His sinless, perfect life to save His corrupt and fallen creation. How He rose from the dead as victor over sin and death and ascended into heaven, carrying with Him mankind's flesh back into the presence of Holy God. How He will come again to judge the living and the dead and give eternal life to all believers in Christ. God the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Isaiah, says that all of our best deeds are like filthy, bloody rags. Through the apostle Paul, he teaches that while we are dead in our trespasses and sins, while we are still enemies of God, Christ dies for us. And if, before we are converted, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, if we are unholy people and God's enemies, then how shall we make ourselves alive? How shall we become friends with God? How shall we become holy and convince Him to be merciful to us after we have betrayed Him? We can't make ourselves alive. We can't make ourselves holy. We can't quench God's anger at our betrayal and sin. Only God can fix the mess that we have created. Only God can rescue us from God. He must come and make us alive and holy. He must pay the price for our betrayal and sin. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us and for all people. This is what the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word on the day of Pentecost, teaches us. That Jesus died for you. That His sacrificial death has appeased the Father's righteous anger at your sin. That all of your sins have been put away. Not because of anything that you have done. Not by any merit or worthiness in you, but because Almighty God loves you. So all I have to do is believe in Him, right? Right. But can you? Believing in Jesus means listening to what He says and doing what He does. Do you know what He says and commands? Can you do those things that He has given to do? Do you trust and lean on Him for everything, as a newborn child leans and depends on her mother for everything? Can you drink the cup that He has drunk? Can you suffer the cross that He has suffered? Or are chance and Mother Nature and your own good works still part of your soteriology of salvation? Does it depend on you or on God alone? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. Belief, that is, faith in Christ, is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If God doesn't do all the work, all the saving, then you are not saved. If God does not rescue you from God, there is no one who can. You certainly can't merit salvation by what you do, and neither can God's kingdom be bought. It is either received as a free gift, or it is not received at all. It is for this very reason that Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me," and "for of such is the kingdom of heaven." This is why we baptize infants who can't yet hold up their own heads. Because salvation is not a work that they do for themselves. It's not a work in progress that God started and they get to finish. It's the work that Jesus did and that he finished for them on his cross. It's a work that God connects you to through the hearing of this word and the washing of regeneration in holy baptism. For in holy baptism, the true day of Pentecost is seen. For the Holy Spirit is given as a gift from God to drive out and replace that unclean spirit that we are all conceived and born with. As the word is spoken and the water is poured, a death occurs. And then a resurrection happens. A transformation, a great exchange takes place. God takes my sins and gives me his righteousness. He takes my death and he gives me his life. An enemy of God becomes a child of the Heavenly Father and an heir of God's kingdom. The great and powerful Lord and creator of heaven and earth places his name on the one who is baptized. And then he writes the baptized name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus tells his disciples who are to become his apostles, his sent ones, not to rejoice that the demons submit to their preaching, but to rejoice that their names are written in heaven. Baptism and eternal life that it brings is the best gift, the greatest treasure, the most valuable possession that anyone can receive and have. It's greater than 100 lottery jackpots. And it's completely free. Though you did not hear the rushing wind or see the tongues of fire as the apostles and the crowds did on that first Pentecost day, you today have all again witnessed a miraculous thing. The wind of God, his Holy Spirit, is still blowing, just as he was at the creation of all things and on the day of Pentecost. God has breathed new life into his creature, Rachel. And as he works faith in fragile, weak old children, so he continues to work a living faith in you as well. He still comes and convicts sinners of their sins. He still comes and creates living faith. He still comes and comforts troubled consciences with the knowledge of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The psalmist writes, "These your creatures all look to you. You give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. But when you send forth your spirit, they are created." You were created by a loving God in wisdom. Not by chance or by some evolutionary process. The one who created the forces of nature that the world stands in awe of, that no man can tame, that same one created you. The same God also gives up his life for you. And in holy baptism, he recreates you and gives you his own living breath. He has forgiven all of your sins against him and against your neighbors. He knows you by name, and he loves you. In this world filled with many personifications of unknown and imaginary gods, filled with foul winds of false doctrine, there is and can be no lasting peace. But as Jesus, the living power of the true God, spoke peace from his Father, peace that is not like the world gives to his disciples, so he speaks his peace to you again this day. You are a wonderful creation of the loving God, and He is in control of all things. Your eternal life and salvation are secure in Jesus Christ. Go your way, therefore, this day, in the peace of God which passes all understanding, which guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.